All right, everyone. Welcome back to hell. We are back with Dead on Igus. This is gonna be fucking nuts. But let's go ahead and get through it. The men begin gangbanging Nana without any foreplay. Well, that doesn't sound very good. The white officer pins Nana onto her back against the floor before straddling her, thrusting his raging cock between her large breasts. Oh, I've had my eye on her for a while now. You can't have this kind of fun with the other whore, you know? Girls with big boobs are the best, after all. I have to agree with him there. The man rubs his cock against Nana's vagina, smearing it with her juices, but he doesn't go further for some time. All of a sudden, he thrusts his cock as deep as it can go in one strong thrust, almost like he's driving a stake into her vagina. Cuh, she's great down here, too, man. She's great down here, too. Man, this is exquisite. Not quite as good as that whore, but she's still pretty fucking good. Oh! No, stop it. I don't want this. But it feels so good. No. Stop. Okay. Unfortunately for Nana, she's a special warfare trooper, too. Her body, which was already experienced from her relationship with Satoru, was further developed by training here in the cathedral, making her highly responsive to arousal. Banker looks at Minori with an almost apologetic gaze. I'm sorry, Minori, I'm not cheating on you. I'm just a man and I can't help myself when I see a naked woman. But I'll do you later, so forgive me. With that, Banker forces his cock past Nana's lips and starts fucking her mouth. Okay. Oh, she's pretty good. Not on Minori's level, but having a cute girl like her suck me off feels like heaven. Left with no holes to plug, the lab's aide gazes at them forlornly with his pants down. But the black officer kindly takes Nana's hand, pushing it against the aide's cock. Oh, a girl's hand is touching my dick. Hold it there, like that, gently. Rub it more. Minori tries to scream at the sight of her good friend being raped, but each time Callahan teases her nipples and clitoris. Her slave switches simply after... let me try that one again, guys. Her slave switches simply affect her too hard. Minori can only moan as she's forced to watch her friend getting raped. Haha, you see now, Minori? The only things you can fight are the aliens. And when you're not fighting aliens, you're just a whore. Just stop it! He slowly unbuttons her uniform's top, exposing her breasts and disproportionately large nipples. Hey, Piglet, she's been trying to hide it, but since you're dying to know, I guess I'll have to tell you. Here, see? Look at your best friend's huge nipples. See how lewd they are? They're always erect. Nana's eyes widen in shock. She can't speak because her mouth is being raped, but her expression makes her feelings clear. Why? When did this happen? Annoyed that she stopped sucking him off, Banker starts ramming his waist against Nana's face, rubbing his pubic hair against her lovely features. Nana is forced to resume sucking him off. But her eyes won't stop questioning Minori. Look, Minori, that little piglet's got better technique than you do. Well, she's been fucking around behind your backs, too. Guess it makes sense she'd be so good at it. In his anger, Banker comes quickly, his pathetic moan filling the warehouse. But apparently he enjoyed himself quite a bit, but he soon thrusts his cock back into her mouth for a second round. I don't know. I don't like Banker that much. He always seems like that weird guy you want to knock in the mouth. And that's because I was that weird guy you want to knock in the mouth one time, and I don't like other weird guys you want to knock in the mouth. There can only be one Highlander, goddammit. No, you're lying. Nana and Yusha mean more to Minori than anything. Minori never had any friends on Earth, but here she finally made two sincere and close friends. They saved her so many times. She always thought she would do anything for them, but... I'm not lying. It's not like you see her all the time. Isn't she just a poor thing, though? The piglet was desperate. Her roommates are the commander's mistress and the base whore. She had to keep that secret while you were competing for the number one spot. Nana kept it a secret from the other two. Her two roommates stood out, for better and for worse. She had to keep her own sexual act secret so as not to cause trouble for her two friends and keep herself safe. Now see, this is like the problem with a lot of these games, because people are like, I don't really want to see the crazy sex scenes. However, that's plot. Like, what I just read is actually part of the plot. Like, that's not sexual dialogue. That's actually something that's important to the story. So you actually have to go through these scenes in order to understand the story. She's now being mercilessly raped by the men. Her precious friend is being treated like a sex toy with all of her kindness and affection ignored. The black man lets out a loud moan, ugh, each time he thrusts into her crotch. Her soft vagina controls and contorts into the shape of his cock with every stroke. Banker comes into her mouth a second time, only to start working towards a third ejaculation. The aide's face, The aide's face contorts into a ridiculous expression as he shakes his hips, all while the scent of cum hangs in the air. Because of course it does. Minori struggles in an attempt to break free, but even if her muscles were as tempered as they were when she first came here months ago, she wouldn't be able to free herself in this position. And her nipples aren't the only part of her like this. See? Look here! Callahan flips up Minori's skirt, pulls down her stockings and underwear, then forcefully spreads Minori's legs open. Within her pubes, which have grown thicker since she was experimented on, is her dark red clit. It stands erect and shivering. Nana's eyes widen again. She knows what her friend's clitoris is supposed to look like, and so its abnormal size is clear to her. But please don't look... No, not in front of Nana! Stop it! Callahan speaks cruelly, ruthlessly teasing her enslaved clitoris all the while. Whenever we touch her nipples, she does whatever we say, haha. We just need to flip one switch and she becomes a subhuman sex slave. Nana shakes her head desperately, insisting that it isn't true. Minori isn't like that. She can't be like that. But Minori can't do anything to save her. After using her large breasts, ripping pussy and soft hands to pleasure themselves, the men swap places and continue raping her. The obscene revelry feels like it might never end. Confronted by the sight of her friend being so viciously raped and her own sense of powerlessness clawing at her heart, Minori tries to look away, but the awful man holding her won't allow it. Keep your eyes open and watch, Minori. This little piglet only ended up like this because you're a weak whore who can't do anything. Remember that. Looks like the boys love your little piglet friend, though. Heh heh. Maybe we should make her a whore just like you. Good idea, don't you think? That way you'll be able to lick each other's pussies and comfort each other. Those dreaded words make Minori twist around and shout at him. Anything but that! I'll do anything, so don't! Calhoun's expression becomes uncharacteristically kind. Really? He whispers softly into her ear. If you come to my room naked after your next deployment, and no one sees you go there, I might consider sparing your little piglet friend. After that, he rapes her as usual, though this is the first time he rapes her alongside someone else. Both Nana, who is raped into unconsciousness, and Minori becomes limp and docile from her sense of sheer powerlessness, lie together side by side on the floor of the warehouse. The five men rape them until they're satisfied. Well, I mean... you think that's good enough? Okay, your time for lunch! They already seem to think Nana is their whore, so they put her through the same torture they did Minori. They have her kiss their dicks and swear she'll be their whore. But all the while, she keeps her eyes on Minori as if to tell her not to worry about it. She can take it. After raping them for multiple hours, the men wash them off in the same manner as they as always. It feels like less like bathing and more like water torture. Oof. Once they inject Minori with the inhibitor, they leave. The two girls are left there alone on the warehouse floor, still dripping with water. After some time, Nana whispers, Minori, let's go home. Her voice is what drives Minori to her decision. If that's what it takes to save this girl, she'll head to Callahan's room in the men's dormitory, block naked. Let's try that one again, guys. If that's what it takes to save this girl, she'll head to Callahan's room in the men's dormitory, block naked. She'll do it. Even if other men find and rape her in the process, then so be it. The two stagger back to their room, supporting each other all the while. As soon as they get back, Minori dives into her bed. She can't bear to look Nana in the eye after she got her mixed up with Minori's problems and raped. Now even Nana has seen what she's become. Her comrade must be disappointed with her. She must hate her now. Minori hears a noise coming from the lower bunk. Hey, Minori! Have they been doing that to you over the last few days?
I'm
sorry. I didn't want you to get... Or rather, I didn't want to get you involved with this. I'm already their sex slave. You must think I'm awful. Minori speaks disparagingly about herself as if trying to further punish herself. She can hear Nana get to her feet. Minori thinks she'll walk out of the room, but instead she climbs into Minori's bed. Minori freezes up, thinking that Nana's about to hurl insults at her. But contrary to Minori's expectations, Nana wraps her arms around her. It must have been awful for you, Minori. Huh? Minori can't believe this. The scent of Nana's body, an aroma that reminds her of sweetened milk, gently envelops her. You just kept quiet and put up with it because you didn't want us to worry about you, right? Nana gazes at Minori, who looks confused and on the verge of tears. Of course I understand. Just like I'm important to you, you mean the world to me. She's right. Nana would never condemn her nor disdain her. Now Minori feels ashamed for assuming she would. Minori, what happened? If you won't tell me, I'll go with you to those men. No, don't! Then tell us. I'm dumb, but Ayusha's pretty smart. If the three of us work together, we can work something out. The way Nana puts it, Ayusha will probably be the only one thinking. But the statement is so very much like Nana that Minori can't help but smile. You always get depressed on your own. You have this bad habit of convincing yourself of something that isn't true, then acting on it. So please, tell me. Nana is such a good girl. Minori can't help but wonder why she never told her the truth and instead tried to shoulder all of this pain alone. It feels like she'll burst into tears any second now. Nana's kind sympathy helps relieve the agony Minori is suffering. Before she knows it, the words are coming out. She tells them about how that terrible order made her into a guinea pig, about how her breasts and genitals were injected with drugs, sending her body into a state of constant arousal, about how her nipples and clit won't go back to normal, with even the slightest touch making her terribly horny, about how Callahan and the others found out about it. Let's try that again. It says about how Callahan and the others found about it. So it should be... Alright, I'm reading that right, guys. There's a missing word. About how Callahan and the others found out about it, telling her they'd keep quiet about it if she became their slave. And about how she ultimately surrendered to them. It was her only choice, both for the sake of the other special warfare troopers and for her own dignity. But why? Why do you have to go through this for the rest of us? Nana looks at her with a puzzled expression. That's because... You know, if you told everyone about what happened to you, they'd all rally for your sake. But if they found out how dirty and indecent my body is, they'll... No one will want to side with me. They'll all hate me. Minori! Just think about this. You won't find any pure, proper virgins here anymore. They wouldn't survive here. We're all in the same boat as you, you know? We're all totally united because of the group training, so everyone feels like we're strong. We can do it. Let's kick alien butt. And if the men hold us back, we'll just beat them up too. She's right. Those assholes, we ought to kill all of them. With that furious statement, Ayusha burst into the room. Apparently, she was eavesdropping from just outside the door. When did you get here? How long have you been listening? Since around the time you told her about how the lab injected you with drugs. In other words, everything except for the very beginning. I came back to the room and heard you talking about something serious. You were so busy talking, you didn't even notice I was back. I kept my mouth shut because I didn't want to interrupt you, but I can't stay quiet after hearing that. Why didn't you say anything sooner, Minori? Is it really that bad? Let me see you. There's no curiosity to her voice, only genuine concern. I saw her earlier. I was a little surprised, but it's not that weird. It's like I told Minori earlier, we all have our problems here. Minori hesitates for a second, but she soon realizes she can't hide it from these two. Stifling her shame and embarrassment, she bravely takes off her uniform in front of them, revealing her transformed body. Still, no matter how much courage she musters, she's still embarrassed about showing her privates to the other girls. Ayusha scrutinizes Minori's body. It's not that bad. They're still pretty big, though. They were twice as large earlier, but they gave her some drug that calmed her body down. Twice as large, huh? If they're that big, you can't call it normal. Still, it's not too bad right now. Minori feels a bit irritated by her reaction. Feels like Yusha's downplaying the problem that's been weighing so heavily on Minori's mind. Not too bad. I can't even move if anything touches me. Yusha only gives Minori a forced smile. That's what it's like for me too, pretty much. Remember how I'm always the first to come when we touch each other? You were so cute back then, Ayusha. When I teased you, you moaned so hard. That's not the issue right now. What was I even trying to say with that? I know my body's been toyed with a lot, but I still like it. I mean, it's my... own body. What's the point of hating it? Don't worry about if it's good or bad, you just gotta accept it for what it is. You can handle the rest later. But before anything else, we need to take care of those assholes. Weren't we going to kill them, like sneak in from behind them and POW? Minori cracks another smile. Why bother doing it from behind? Ayusha's definitely more about getting right up into their faces. Yeah, we'll manage something. I already put those three on my to-be-murdered list anyway. Seems like I'll just have to add another two people. A to-be-murdered list reminds me of that notebook. That one where you're supposed to write down the names of your bullies. You know that notebook where if you write someone's name in it, they die? Wrong series, guys. I don't think we can actually do that, though. Even if Yusha asks the commander. I'm such a bad fucking weeb, I haven't even seen Death Note. And I have it on Blu-ray, so I really don't have an excuse. Yeah, Grimm has... Okay, so I got two versions. I actually had the Malaysian version that I got a long time ago off eBay. And then I actually found the original Death Note Blu-ray at the local store. And I picked it up and still haven't watched it. And of course people are like, hey, it's a classic and you need to watch it. It's really good. I'm sure it is. I just haven't watched it yet. Based on what she's been able to accomplish recently, it's clear Yusha has some influence over the commander. But asking him to have some of the male officers killed is probably more than they can hope for. Hold on a minute. Yeah, we got that right. I was just joking, you know. You don't have to take everything so seriously, Minori. Anyway, once tomorrow's big mess is over, I'll talk things over with the commander, assuming those assholes are still alive by then. Ayusha's dark humor somehow still makes Minori's heart feel lighter. If nothing else, she can say with confidence that confiding in her two roommates wasn't a mistake. What's gonna happen that might cause men on the base to die? Oh yeah, I remember that. Okay, well it's a pretty old story, but there was that one time the CC attacked the cathedral directly. You probably know about that, right? One of the male officers died then. In fact, Minori did know, owing to her deep interest in the special warfare troopers and the cathedral. It was the cathedral crisis of 2104 AD. While Lizette was pursuing the CC, a few enemy flyers managed to penetrate the defensive perimeter and destroy part of the cathedral. One unfortunate male officer was caught up in that attack and died. Minori realizes that there's another meaning to Yusha's words. While talking about that one unfortunate officer, she mentioned tomorrow's big mess. Tomorrow's big mess? It's happening tomorrow? The commander told me about it. The base's sensors have observed an extremely high level of activity on Paradise Lost's surface. They'll be coming tomorrow. It's gonna be really bad this time around. We'll all be deployed into mass reconnaissance duty first thing tomorrow morning. Now, part of me, because I guess I'm a sadistic bastard when it comes to revenge, I kind of want to see them attack, because I want to see the fucking male officers get raped in the ass and just like, argh, till they die, like the fucking head explodes. That would be great. Like, I would be humming victory music while that happened. That would be great, but I don't know if that's going to happen. August 23rd. On August 23rd, high activity levels matching those observed during past year's great August invasions are observed on Paradise Lost's surface. With Paradise Lost's orbit approaching the base, cathedral sensors now are capable of gathering accurate data about changes in its surface. Recon satellites deployed in the nearby space sectors, as well as other sensors installed onto nearby planetoids, have detected similar levels of activity. Using last year's data, they calculated the distance between themselves and the enemy units. The enemy units measuring the CC's crushing speed. The timing of the attack was estimated to be on August 25th. The CC will attempt to either destroy or otherwise neutralize the cathedral's defenses, and then cross the Pasta Tube to begin another invasion on Earth's space sector. If the CC manage to get through the Pasta Tube, Earth's forces are powerless to stop them. But ever since the crisis in 2104, no CC have ever broken through the cathedral space sector. Over the last few years, the UEF has been making the month of August seem like a month of midsummer cosmic horror for the masses, although that terror never actually materialized for the people of Earth. And so, the large transport vessel Lizette Agaro came to the base bearing a large number of media crews. The commander's secretary, First Lieutenant Yusha Petrovna, went out to greet them. According to her, none of them seemed the slightest bit nervous. The whole affair has been something of an annual function, merely a temporary busy period that would ultimately stimulate the budgets of the UEF's military-industrial complex. The invasion of 2109 was expected to be a standard one, with deploying half of the total number of special warfare troopers would be enough to stop it. August 25th, 2109. 0139 standard space time. A map of the battlefield is projected into a 3D image of the headquarters block. Okay. It displays a wave of CC formations closing in on the cathedral, as if to shield Paradise Lost from its sight. Cersei Bernhard, who is present as one of the operators, is completely speechless. One staff officer dispatched by the Eurasia Economic Complex says, "There's a lot of them." His voice sounds like a panicked moan. Even with the sensors working at the top of their output, they can't detect the exact numbers of the CC, but based strictly on their mass, it seems that they've sent 5 times the number they usually send every year. It seems their numbers greatly exceed our predictions. Do we know why? An American staff officer who was present during the attack 2 years ago stands up. "They've been destroying the sensors as they go. We've got a second and third layer of sensors set up as backups, but it does limit our ability to gather intelligence." Everyone in the headquarters starts murmuring in concern. A staff officer from the Asian Federal Republic of Great China says, "Are you saying the CC are systematically destroying our sensors? Are we sure they're not just destroying them by coincidence?" A staff officer from the European Union replies, "No, if they're destroying them so specifically, they must be doing so for some purpose." The staff officers look anxiously at the map of the battlefield. Everyone can feel that whatever's happening now is unlike anything they've ever witnessed before. By destroying mankind's sensors, the CC have made it clear they're trying to do something outside the reach of mankind's detection range. To make things worse, Purgatorio's activity has been erratic over the last few days. Flares from it have been rampaging across the space sector. This has made the sensor's detection range even shorter than usual. But their efforts are in vain. They won't destroy the powerful sensors within the cathedral. The aliens can only stay hidden for so long. The commander parts his lips. His voice is stern, powerful, and calm as ever. "Prepare to deploy our forces, and power up all our weapons. Rally the special warfare troopers selected for offensive reconnaissance unit." An American staff officer offers his opinion. "Commander, I realize you know this well enough, but the special warfare troopers are exhausted, both physically and mentally. Sending in this year's lights at this stage would be..." But Major Cersei Bernhard raises her voice, cutting off words. The central enemy group has launched what looks to be some kind of matter that's jamming the sensors. Our sensor's blind spot is rapidly expanding. August 25th, 2109, 0230, standard space time. Minori awakens to the sound of her portable terminal letting out an unpleasant low-frequency buzzing. She checks the clock, finding that it's only 2 in the morning. Given that she was abused by the men until late at night just 2 days ago, this is hardly a good time for her to be woken up. But as a soldier, she has the duty to respond to an emergency summons. On top of that, the CC organ in her womb won't stop shaking. Her body feels feverish, making it difficult to sleep. Even if she managed to doze off sleep, she's tormented by lewd dreams. She only managed to fall properly asleep about an hour ago. Her sheets are dotted with stains of love juices, leaving the scent of arousal hanging thick over the 3 bunk beds. As she moves, the shameful sound of her wet crotch reaches her ears. Ever since Callahan started treating her like a sex slave, her entire body seems to affirm that she's nothing more than a plaything for the men. It makes her miserable. Back then, when she was trying to hide just how far she had fallen from her friends, Minori tried to wake up early, so she could quickly put on her uniform or special enhancement gear, acting like nothing was wrong. But even after they learned about what happened to Minori's body, they didn't think any less of her. They still accept her as she is. Knowing she doesn't have to hide anything from them is a huge weight off their mind. Oh, excuse me, off her mind. It can't be morning yet. I won't believe it's morning yet. That's what I need to say. God damn it, it's morning! Minori can hear Ayusha complaining about the low-frequency waves emanating from her terminal, just like she does every morning. Ayusha! Minori! Good morning! Nana pokes her head into the middle bunk and cheerily greets them. Are you okay? It sounded like you were turning in your sleep. Good morning, Nana. Still, I actually got some sleep for once. How about you? I'm all good. I've had stuff like that happen to me before already. Still, there are girls that have had it much worse than that. Minori realizes once again that Nana is also fighting her own battles here. Ugh, this sucks. I hate mornings. Wait, why did you wake us up now? An emergency summons? Screw it. This isn't morning. No way does this count as morning. Yusha slides off the top bunk, grumbling with complaints all the while. Morning, Nana, Minori. Not that a time like this counts as morning. Still, there's a reason why they were roused this early. The three of them are part of the Offensive Reconnaissance Unit, which just received an emergency summons. They're to gather in the deployment port at 0300 for their briefing, with their actual deployment occurring by 0330. They open up the food box set on their room's wall and quickly eat the breakfast provided for them. Their breakfast today consists of bread, chicken gratin, and vegetable juice, or at least that's what it looks like, but who knows what's exactly inside the food. After eating, they freshen themselves up and take quick showers. With that finished, there's barely any time left, so they immediately equip their Type 8 Special Enhancement gear. Nana and Yusha check each other's gear. There's some dirt on the back of your device, Nana. Wait, there's some on this device and this one too. They're all dirty. Oh, this? I wrote my name, Nana, on it. That way everyone knows it's mine. I swear. Wash it off later. This isn't kindergarten, you know? They help each other put on gear, toying with each other's bodies as they do. Yeah, cut it out! Yeah, what are you stirring it like that for? Yeah! You can be a little masochistic sometimes, Yusha. Whenever we get aggressive, you start moaning. It's cute. Don't call me cute. I'll get back at you, Nana. How do you like this? You're usually quick about it. That's not fair. Don't stir me up like that. Minori would usually stare at them with exasperation while just putting on her own devices in a hurry, but not this time. Yusha, Nana. Could you help me put it on? Just don't do anything strange, okay? What, you're gonna let us? You always put your gear on yourself. I can't promise we won't do anything strange, though. You sure you want to? Minori nods with blushing cheeks and raises her hands, revealing her breasts and crotch. With her core throbbing non-stop, her skin is flushed pink. Her nipples and areola are erect, while her clit is swollen and glistening with juices. She's only showing these two what she looks like because she knows that no matter how lewd her body might become, they'll always accept her for who she is. Yusha picks up the upper devices of her Type 8 Special Enhancement gear and slides them into place around Minori's nipples. The devices cling to her breasts as the devices' rings tighten around her nipples. The sensation makes Minori moan out loud.
あんまり刺激しないようにするよ。汗
I'll try not to be too rough. Now's not the time to be playing around. Or she says, now's no time to be playing around, I guess. Nana holds up the lower device as a Type 8 special enhancement gear and pushes it against Minori's vagina. There's a wet sound when the device presses against her soaking privates. Am I supposed to, like, put it in slowly or just do it all at once? If you can, do it so I don't feel it as much. After a moment's hesitation, Nana slowly inserts the device. Special enhancement gear pseudo members slowly sink into Minori's vagina and anus. The nectar that's already built up within her vagina overflows, spilling out into her thighs. The device penetrating her from both the front and the back sends powerful jolts of pleasure through Minori. Her body heats up as beads of sweat surface on her skin. I think this is my... I think this is my first time looking at it so close up, and Minori, the part of your device that latches onto your clit is bigger than usual. You have a special one. I'm kind of jealous. After confirming the pseudo-members are properly inserted, Nana attaches the stimulation ring around Minori's clitoris. No need to even bring it out. Here! The stimulation ring clasps around Minori's swollen clit. Minori's petite body twists in place as she raises her voice in a groan. As long as it's these two, she's okay with them hearing her like this. Minori just manages to stay on her feet by bracing herself against the wall. Are you okay? I'm fine. Thank you, Nana. You're welcome. I'm kind of happy, though. You trust us this much, Minori. Your nipples and clit are cute, Minori. You don't have to be so reserved when you're with us. Minori is glad. She realizes how foolish she was to try to put up with everything on her own without confiding in her two friends. Yusha then says in an oddly formal tone, no matter what happens, the three of us are gonna survive this. Of course we are. We've made it this far, so we'll always be together for sure. Me too. I know a soldier shouldn't say this, but you two are more important to me than anything. Yusha looks like she's holding back tears. Minori realizes she probably looks the same way. Heh. You two are such crybabies. Fine. Let's make another promise then. I'm not crying, you idiot. You're imagining stuff. We've all got our birthdays in November, right? Different dates, though. So let's have a birthday party together when it's November. It's a small fact that's easy to forget when they spend their days fighting desperately for their lives. But all three of them have birthdays in November. Yeah, that sounds like fun. Nana, how can you remember all these little details when you're so dumb? But fine, it's a promise. Ayusha hangs her head for a moment. Minori appreciates the fact that Nana doesn't tease her any further. Remember how I told you I came here as part of a trio? I remember. Yeah. When we were sent out the first time, I brought back one of the girls with me. Oh, excuse me. Let's try that one again, guys. When we were sent out the first time, I brought back one of those girls with me, Anne. Her birthday was on November 2, but I couldn't save her. Huh? How come? But you said you brought her back to base. Was she killed here? But why? Why would they do that? That's awful. The commander told me it's because the CC organ attached itself to a spot outside her womb. But still, I wish I could have survived until now. And she, on her own, she was too timid, but she was a good singer and dancer. She's much more talented than I ever was. But if anything happens to you, no matter what state you're in, I won't let them kill you. I feel the same way. Same here. Let's pinky swear on it. We're all gonna survive this. The three of them locked their pinkies together, and so their promise with each other is made. August 25th, 2109. 0300 Standard Space Time. The 8 Special Warfare Troopers selected for the Offensive Reconnaissance Unit stand in a row. Out of the available Special Warfare Troopers, only 8 of them were selected for this unit. From G1 are 1st Lieutenant Adira Shisan Shastri, a gunner from India, and 1st Lieutenant Olivia Gregory, a defender from the North American Space Forces. From G3 is 1st Lieutenant Zhu Julan, a vanguard from the Asian Federal Republic of Great China. Asian Federal Republic of Great China? Holy shit, they went through a lot of... From G9, 1st Lieutenant Amandi Kabaki, a vanguard from Ethiopia. Finally, from G10 is 2nd Lieutenant Han Shenmei, a defender, also from China. Now, notice something, guys. Little conspiracy here. But you notice how North American Space Forces? That's supposed to represent all of North America. Remember there was this big old talk about the North American Union where they were going to combine, combine America, Canada, and Mexico into one whole thing. Like, they have the European Union, the EU, and then they were going to have the AU, or, excuse me, the NAU, which would be the North American Union. And, it makes sense that it would be a North American Space Forces, because all the countries would be one big global thing. Which is kind of a conspiracy theory, but it could very well be something that happens, especially by 2109. And it's interesting that we have the Asian Federal Republic of Great China. Wow. They went through a lot of shit. And India is still just India. China apparently left India the fuck alone. They're like, okay, India, you're not that important to us, so, yeah. I mean, that's literally what they're saying. And finally, from G14, there are 1st Lieutenant Minoru Iizuka, a vanguard from Mars, 2nd Lieutenant... Oh, a vanguard from Mars, yeah, that's true. 2nd Lieutenant Nanaki Saragi, a defender from Japan, and 1st Lieutenant Yuzha Petrovna, gunner from Russia. Remember, Russia just fucking stays Russia. Russia, India, and Japan all stay the same. But we have the Federal Republic of Great China and the North American Space Forces. That's pretty crazy. Those countries got left the fuck alone, but all these other countries became other, you know, other things. They became larger countries, larger federations. Their team composition is made of 3 vanguards, 2 defenders, and 2 gunners, for a total of 8 troopers. 1st Lieutenant Yusha is the unit's provisional commander. All of them are either topping the kill counts or are valued for their defensive prowess. They are the elite of the newest Special Warfare Troopers. First Lieutenant Sayusha Petrovna and Amandi Kapaki are in particular, are neck and neck for their total kill count, with Minori Izuki gradually catching up to them. All of them are among the special warfare troopers who attempted to expose the truth when the inspection committee arrived. Commander Kinnison makes his appearance as the Cathedral's absolute commander and the hero who devotes everything in his power to the war against the CC. The Cathedral and the legacy of hundreds of young women before them are at his disposal to be sacrificed at his command. All eight of these girls, no, even the majority of special warfare troopers who aren't currently present, have slept with this man to have their powers as magical girls owned by him. Minori regards him with mixed feelings. If this man didn't manipulate her into having sex with him, she probably wouldn't have survived long enough to be here. But she can't help but feel that there must have been another way. Ayusha Petrovna steps forward. Attention on deck! The eight deliver perfect salutes. Commander Kinnison returns their salutes before, as always, speaking in a heavy, austere tone. The CC's August offensive has begun. At present, the scale and numbers of the CC forces are presumably much greater than that of past years. Footage of the enemy's central force is projected on the left side of the deployment port. It shows a large force of UMBs moving in an organized group. Although their canopies are spread open, they move in a tight cluster, only just barely far enough from each other to avoid collision. Minori can't help but swallow with dread. This is the largest force he's ever seen. A schematic of the sector around the cathedral is projected on the right side of the port. It shows 10 large CC formations approaching the cathedral, forming a hemisphere around it. The force moving in a straight line between the cathedral and Paradise Lost, which has been designed, as Formation A, is both wide and thick, and must be the enemy's main force. Based on our distribution, their numbers are estimated to be at least 5 times higher than last year. Relying on sheer numbers is a simple yet effective method of attack, after all. But if that was all there was to it, we wouldn't issue the aid of you as an emergency summons. Our commander's calculations show that with our current forces, we can push back even a force 5 times as large as last year's. Nana heaves a sigh of relief next to Minori, but Minori's still tense. They were called here despite that, meaning there's something else. But it's likely that's not all the CC have in store for us. Part of the schematic is overlaid with a red color. From the cathedral's perspective, it's the area extending between the back of Formation A and Paradise Lost. This time, the enemy has been thoroughly destroying the sensors we set up around Paradise Lost as they advance. Fortunately, the most potent sensors are set up on the cathedral itself and its immediate surroundings. So long as those are intact, the base's own detection radius is still operational, albeit slightly delayed. In addition, 2 hours ago, the UMBs deployed in front of Formation A have begun dispersing particles that obstruct our sensors. This means the area behind Formation A is effectively a blind spot in our radar. Minori recalls the capabilities of the UMBs. To curb the power of the troopers' beam weapons, the skin of the UMBs release spore-like particles that deflect the energy from their attacks. This time the UMBs are using it to jam mankind's sensors. No, it's likely that back then their spores didn't have that kind of functionality. Minori swallows nervously again. The CC are learning and improving. They've never before deployed flyers for the purpose of crippling mankind's sensors. Because of that, most of mankind believed they weren't intelligent enough to recognize the sensor arrays. But it seems that wasn't the case. It really drives the point home that they're up against sentient beings that are capable of adapting and changing in response to the situation at hand. The enemy is doing something in the space sector and we don't know what it is. We must discover what they're trying to do and we must do so as soon as possible. Your mission is to break through the enemy's central force and observe what the enemy is doing behind it. You are the only ones we can count on for this. Now then, I will explain the details of this operation. August 25th, 2109. 0330, Standard Space Time. The 8 Special Warfare Troopers that make up the Elite Offensive Reconnaissance Unit have deployed. With the exception of her two roommates, Minori doesn't know the other troopers very well at all. She's only talked to them during training, and even then, only to relay mission information. At Ayusha's suggestion, they did a round of self-introductions, but Minori still feels a bit unpleasantly awkward around them. Minori knows they cooperated with her during the incident within the inspection committee, but they were never really friends outside of that interaction. But after an hour of flight in space, she finds herself gradually starting to open up to them. Minori's outlook changes a little. If they survive this battle, Minori hopes she can get to know them a little better. But that blissful time soon comes to an end. It only takes them 2 hours to cross a distance that would have taken the fastest spaceship half a day. They're now faced with a wall consisting of a large number of UMBs. And this wall is no stationary structure. It's a huge enemy formation that's gradually closing in on the cathedral. The UMB's white canopies fill their field of vision, emanating an ivory-covered aura as they advance while releasing a fog of spores. This small force of special warfare troopers is a mere speck compared to this gigantic wall, closes the distance between them. With the CC detect a small enemy force approaching them, FBs begin spilling like a dark cloud from the gaps within the pale wall. But the troopers continue to advance without utilizing any of their powers. This is surprising, as even the strongest special warfare troopers have to rely on their offensive capabilities to survive contact with the enemy. Even Nana Kisaragi, who boasts the most bulky force field of the group, would only last mere seconds if she were swarmed by such a large formation of FBs. They'd instantly pierce her defenses and tear her apart. And yet the troopers continue flying without any action. The disgusting swarm of FBs eventually reaches and surrounds them, thrusting out their penis-like organs. Yet none of the FBs attack them. None of them were subjected to a horrifying death by having their wombs gouged out. No one had their force fields penetrated or their special enhancement gear torn off. As far as the FBs are concerned, the troopers were simply all destroyed, disappearing in unison. 10 seconds later, the UMBs detect the group again, but this time right in front of them. They are now far behind the group of FBs that were dispatched to deal with them, but they're too close for the FBs to intercept them now. The troopers slip through the gaps between the UMBs, infiltrating the area behind them. There, they find another white wall standing in their way. Once again, another swarm of FBs moves in to intercept them, and once again, the CC proceed to lose track of the troopers' position. The girls pass through 5 layers of the wall like they're completely invisible, finally emerging far behind Formation A. Okay, and this is where it's going to end. We're going to resume with this major battle. Will be a hell of a battle, and I am a little too tired to cover it right now, so let's go ahead and end this, and we will see you next time on Grim's Hentai Corner with more Dead and Igus. Stay tuned.